Shope.
Hey, put a little bit. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
George Wendt has died. Reports. I suppose his role in Fletch would not be the first mentioned in his obituary. It'd be Norm. Cheers.
I think that's yeah.
Fat Sam. Yeah. Fletch has lost two legends in a week. Joe Don Baker and George Wendt.
Oh, I didn't know the Whammer had ties to Fletch.
He's the mean cop. He kind of always was a mean somebody. Joe Don Baker in all his movies.
Yeah.
He had an edge to him. Also a man who has an edge to him, Warren Sharp, joining us now on the West Her Hotline, sharpfootballanalysis.com, one of the best in the business. Warren, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So let's start with the schedule. I know you put a lot of time in trying to find disparities in team schedule and, you know, give a deeper insight into who really has weaker versus stronger schedules. How did the Bills come out here for you? I think I've seen a lot. They're on the weaker side of things. Maybe you can add to that with what you've researched.
Yeah, so if we were talking about just who they play, the Bills have the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL because they're playing some weaker divisions. I love the tentpole nature of the way that their games are spread out, the way that the schedule makers gave them three home games against the three toughest teams. Now, they didn't give them the home games. Those were already there, but they have the Ravens to start the season, the Eagles to end the season, the Chiefs smack dab right there in the middle of the season, as long as they don't blow a look-ahead spot off of a bye in Carolina against the Panthers week 8, sets them up nicely against the Kansas City Chiefs in week 9. From a rest perspective, though, the Buffalo Bills do have some challenges from week 10 through 18. So immediately following the Bills, they play four games at a rest disadvantage and just one game at a rest advantage. And last year they went 11-2 when they had at or even rest compared to their opponent, but they were just 3-3 when they had less rest than their opponent. The Bills will play four of those games down the stretch of this season. It's the third worst rest differential to close out the season of any team in the NFL. I don't love the rest spots for them. The good news is the game after the bye week is the Carolina Panthers. I just told you about that one. That's a key one. You can't look ahead to the Chiefs. That's going to be a big thing. And many teams have struggled coming off of byes since that 2011 CBA. It used to be a great thing to have a bye because you could keep the players in town sometimes. You didn't have to give them the mandatory time off, but now they do. And the data certainly shows that teams are playing worse off of a bye. You know who the best team in the NFL is off of a bye?
It's been
the Buffalo Bills are 10-0 off of a bye. You guys are 10-0 off of a bye the last 10 years. You are the best team off of a bye in the NFL. Most teams have fallen back. You guys are surging ahead, whether you're talking against the spread where you're covering 75% or just outright winning these games. You're doing a tremendous job there as well.
Andy Reid is, I almost spat that out before your answer. Good thing nobody heard me, because he has kind of the reputation here.
Definitely don't bring it up now.
Yeah.
No. So, Warren, if I may follow up, I'd like to hear you talk about, like, what is the extent of the advantage? Like, what does the data show I'm gaining or losing in these spots where I'm playing somebody, you know, that's had more rest? And I think, I know what you would say, I've read it from you, I agree with you, that the league should do a better job than it does at this. I mean, we know what their overall purpose is with the schedule, you know, eyeballs. But we both think they should do a better job at this. But there's only so far it can go. I think you'd agree. One of those Bills losses last year is the AFC Championship game, where Kansas City plays on early Saturday and they don't travel, and the Bills play Sunday night and do. So I think we'd all have to acknowledge that there are limits to what can be, you know, made better.
Yes, absolutely. Look, the NFL, by nature, is the least equitable sport that exists for a regular season schedule based upon who you play, because they're never going to balance it with the way that they have divisions and the way that they have other divisions that they rotate, and that's predetermined years in advance. The teams with the easiest schedule and the hardest schedule are much wider apart in the NFL than they are in baseball, where there's, 162 games, or basketball, where there's 82 games. There's so much more opportunity for those teams to have a more even schedule. So we know football, just based upon who you're going to play, before the schedule makers even get involved, is going to be less equitable. The goal, in my opinion at least, should be to try to ensure that that equity doesn't cross this imaginary line as they're trying to increase the revenue. But who's policing that? It's the league internally saying, this is, we're aware of that. It's not our primary focus. We're just trying to make sure that nobody's too out of bounds here with these equalities. Well, then you look at a team like the Cincinnati Bengals, who are playing in Baltimore on a Thursday night game for three straight years. Baltimore has played once on Thursday night in Cincinnati in the last 20 years. And why are they, Cincinnati, being forced to play in Baltimore three straight years? Why is the only, I know this doesn't involve Buffalo, but why is Dallas the only team this year that's playing three games in a 10-day span? You know, the NFL didn't have any teams playing three games in 10 days for years. Then they introduced it last year with the game on Christmas on a Wednesday, and all of a sudden now they still have it in the schedule this year. Nobody should have to play that. Why should one team have to play that? So, you know, if you're looking up and down the schedule, there are things that are inequitable that could be improved upon. Now, to your first question, what is the extent of the damage? What's the collateral damage here? Which are the worst spots that we should be focusing in on? Well, teams off of a short week road game. The reason I look at point spreads a lot of the time here is because point spreads should be the equalizer, right? Win-loss record is going to vary, but the point spread is supposed to try to generally get teams to hit right around 50% if the odds makers and the bettors are accurate with a very efficient market here. Teams on a short week road game, that means they're playing on a Sunday, now they have to go on the road on a Thursday, for instance. That's one time. Mm-hmm. Those teams have covered the spread at just a 48.3% clip. You might say that that's over the last decade. You might say that's close to a coin flip. That's okay. That's minus 7.8% ROI. If you're thinking about like your investment portfolios, 7.8% losing that is a pretty bad thing to be losing. And that's what happens when you're betting on teams that are playing a short week road game. Teams that play the following week after playing on the road on a Sunday or Monday night game, those teams are only covering the spread less than 49% of the time. Teams in the three games in 10 days, those teams are playing terribly. And why should you have – so those are spots that you should look out for, but the NFL doesn't really care too much about balancing those spots. So as a sports bettor, you could look to take advantage of those from a betting perspective. But from an equity standpoint, you should try to balance that out a little bit more. Why does, for example, I'll give you the most extreme example. Mm-hmm. Why do the Detroit Lions play eight games where they have a rest advantage, only one where they have a rest disadvantage, versus the Las Vegas Raiders play six games at a rest disadvantage, only one game with a rest advantage? No team in NFL history has played eight games with a rest advantage, but that's what the Lions get to play this year. No team in NFL history has played five teams coming off of a Monday night game on short weeks, but that's what the Detroit Lions get to play this year, as they face five such opponents. And as you guys know, it's very different if you're coming off Detroit. If you're Detroit playing a 1 p.m. game, you have all afternoon on Sunday to rest up all night, study the film, rest up, rehab all day Monday, and then watch the team that you're about to play play Monday night, get home to their houses on Tuesday morning, and be behind in catch-up. And they get to do that, play five games like that this year. So the NFL needs to do a little bit better job of trying to balance some of these things out, in my opinion.
Warren, one of the portions of the Bills schedule that concerns me the most, I like the schedule a lot. No Europe, no holiday stuff. So, you know, they got their allotment of primetime games, but they are playing, you got to it, talking about week 10, but even pulling back from there by a few weeks, beginning with week 6 in Atlanta, they play 7 of 10 on the road, 4 out of 5 in one pocket in the middle of that, and there's in the middle of within that then is a Thursday on the road in Houston off of, at least they're at home the week before, but how much does travel enter into the rest point you're making?
So travel, I do believe that teams have improved with the way that they travel, with their sports medicine and the way that they rehab, such that it makes travel not as big of a deficit, and something we looked out for a little bit more earlier on, not as much so now. Some teams prefer to have back-to-back games at times on the road, especially if they're like a West Coast team going east, and they'll just stay over, and they feel like that knocks out some of those games. It reduces their overall travel, and then they get to play more home games stacked up at other points in the season. So it sort of really depends. You know, you're right. The Bills do have an interesting quirk where they're playing on the road in Atlanta, then a bye week, then on the road in Carolina. So they bookend their bye with a couple of road games. They do have back-to-back road games there where they're on Thursday Night Football in Houston, which is definitely a disadvantage. Playing that short week road game is a tricky spot for them after hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, the other thing that they don't get the advantage of is playing or hosting any cold weather teams late in the season. You know, the teams that they're hosting late in the season are the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Jets, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Those are the only home games that they play week 12 onward. Those three teams are obviously acclimated to playing in cold weather. So they're not gaining anything from that either.
Warren Sharp is our guest on WGR, Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. So the Bills have about, I mean, depending on what you like, division odds, win the conference championship, win the Super Bowl. The Bills, again, are at the top of the list. I think their odds of winning their division are the shortest of anybody. And, you know, of course, that's a reflection of what people think the rest of the AFC East will look like. What is your read on that? I think it's easy here to get comfortable. Miami has just not been able to take them down. New England and the Jets are closer to rebuilding teams. Is that how you see it, or is there maybe a trap here?
I don't think there's a trap from a division perspective. I think the Bills are as positioned, as you mentioned, the odds reflect this, as any team in the NFL at capturing their division crown. The key for the Bills, in my opinion, we know how important trying to host games in Buffalo is. It's not the end-all, be-all when it comes to, you know, going to the Super Bowl, but you definitely want to try to get that first-round bye, especially when you have an early bye in Week 7. And so, like, I'm not betting Bills minus 230 to win the AFC East, but I absolutely believe that the Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East. I think Justin Fields is not going to elevate the New York Jets that much in 2025. I love what the Patriots did in the draft, and I think that they're on their way, but I don't know that year one with Mike Vrabel, they take that massive step to actually dethrone the Buffalo Bills. And then I think the Miami Dolphins are a team that's searching for answers and don't really have very many. So I think they're very much so up in the air. So I think the Buffalo Bills, what their biggest focus needs to be, if I'm being completely transparent, and if I was there helping strategize a game plan every week, it is we need to figure out a way to get up on these teams that are worse than us. Most of the games that they're going to be playing are teams that are worse than them. Get up on these teams quickly in games, have leads early, build on those leads so that we can potentially rest some of our guys in that fourth quarter and not play in a lot of these one-score games, because we have an early Week 7 bye, and we need to make sure that we have a bye the first week of the playoffs and can have home field advantage. So their goals, obviously their big picture goal, is to get that number one seed in the AFC. But in order to do that, it's think smaller, build leads in games, rest your guys because we have an early bye. In case something goes sideways and we don't get that bye first week of the playoffs, we have the opportunity to still have a healthy roster, because we know that you guys, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, have had your fair share of too many injuries, and you guys need to stay as healthy as possible. And the only way to ensure it, you can't ensure it, but the way to reduce it is to reduce the total number of snaps that your starters have to play.
But that really came home to roost year before last when the Bills had to go right down to the wire the Sunday night game. They needed to win. They started that day not knowing if they were even going to be in the playoffs. It turned out win, and they won the division. But they had to go hard there and then play a wild card game. And the injuries they suffered in that Week 18 win in Miami, coupled with the injuries they suffered in the Pittsburgh wild card win, all but just crush them for, I mean, they pulled A.J. Klein out of an RV driving his family to a vacation to come play linebacker, and he's chasing Travis Kelce around the field in a divisional round game. I mean, it was tough. The rest is so key.
NFL, I'll just say this. NFL teams, they're so focused on their goal each week is to be up when the clock hits zero after 60 minutes are done. They need to focus more on trying to be up by 10 points at the start of the fourth quarter. Yeah. They need to set goals to allow themselves to manage their team down the stretch of the fourth quarter to stay as healthy as possible and notch as many victories along the way as possible. Because, as you guys know, you get a tipped pass interception. Things can go sideways late in these games if you allow them to stay close. Your schedule, you are very fortunate this year. You play the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL. You play the number one easiest schedule of games at home in Buffalo of any team that plays at home. You play, you're favored in every single game because you have the good fortune of hosting all of the most difficult games that you play. Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Cincinnati. Those are the toughest opponents you play. You play all of them at home. You're very fortunate the way that this schedule has fallen. It doesn't fall this way every single year. You've got to take advantage of it every single week by not letting any of these games look ahead or late game variants slip through the cracks, and you got to notch those wins.
Warren, I believe I've seen you tweet how you think the proposal to change the playoff seeding, or whatever it's actually technically should be called, will pass. I've seen today odds against it. I wonder if maybe you still have that position on it. And how do you feel about it? I get the logic behind, you know, dropping down a four seed, a weak division winner by record, but I also don't need it. I kind of like how it is now, and those games are interesting to try to analyze, where you have 11-6 at 9-8 or something like that. What do you see happening, and what should happen?
Yeah, I have changed my position a little bit based on some of the things that I've been hearing out of the teams that are in those AFC South divisions, where they generally are going to sit at the fourth seed. But what I was sort of basing my opinion on is the way that the NFL has been doing their schedule. It's crystal clear that their number one priority is bringing in more revenue. They want to sell those standalone games on pay-per-view scale. They want to be able to sell media packages in the future. And they're trying to break every record possible. And they want Week 18 to be must-see TV. They want their conference championship games to pit the two best teams if possible. And the way to most ensure that is to utilize the tactics in this new proposal to make those Week 18 games matter more. There was a slide that was showed at the league meeting, which went through the Houston Texans and the Los Angeles Rams specifically, mm-hmm. how they were sort of locked into their positions last year, so they rested their starters and they lost those games. But if the way that they want to propose had been used last year, the Houston Texans, instead of being locked into the fourth seed, could have fallen all the way to the seventh seed or been fifth or sixth. And same thing with the Los Angeles Rams, who knew that they were either going to be third or fourth seed, and now they could have been sixth or seventh seed as well. So I think Roger Goodell, the reason I felt strongly is because of Roger Goodell. I now believe that they may not get enough emphasis on it this year to get over the hurdle, but I think that you come back next year and it probably will happen, because generally speaking, Roger will convince these owners that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. The league itself is going to benefit by making more money here, and that in turn will trickle down to benefit the owners. And it's not as if that fourth seed, like you just mentioned, like an AFC South team with a terrible record, it's not as if they're not going to make the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. It's also not as if they're going to stop trying to play and win games, because the more games they win, the better the record's going to be. So there's still going to be a ton of these teams that are going to be competing all 17 games of the season. This is just going to further emphasize that you got to keep competing. You may not want to rest your players in Week 18.
Yeah, boy, so much of this conversation, Warren, has been predicated on rest and the value of it, right? The rest advantage or disadvantage, like you highlighted with the Lions and the Raiders, respectively. This is another way to take potential rest away, even for, you know, if a team's got the one seed all sewn up, obviously they can coast. But everyone else, you know, the Bills have, you know, this past year they were able to rest in Week 18. This potentially takes that away, and I don't know, man, Something about the league, adding games, so, you know, 17 games, we're gonna get to 18. Let's take rest away, potentially. I mean, everyone wins here, I think, except the players.
I agree, and I think that the players' union, in fact, would be the ones that would be the strongest opponents of something like this, because their players will be forced to play in some of these games where they otherwise might have, quote-unquote, earned a little bit of opportunity to rest.
Yeah.
So the league itself, from a revenue perspective, that's what's making this money. And from a fan watching the games, I do find it more interesting week 18 if more teams are playing for something as opposed to just sitting there watching a bunch of backups out on the field. So I understand that perspective as well, the league and the fans' perspective. From the players, though, absolutely, you want that opportunity to walk into the fact that you don't have to play one of your games.
Warren, thank you. Before you go, do you want to plug the book coming out, the website, anything having to do with Lord Reeves, Rich Rebar?
Yeah, he is outstanding. I'll tell you this. I'll do something. If you go to sharp.football and enter the code WGR for the book, instead of $35, it'll drop it to $1. I'll do a special discount here. So anybody who's interested, it's 500-plus pages previewing the upcoming season. You can get it for just $1. It'll come out in early July. That's when it publishes. You could pre-order it now if you use the code WGR.
Wow, Warren, great job. Thank you for that.
What a gift. Thank you. That's really, really generous of you.
On my way. Thanks for your time, as always, Warren.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Warren Sharp. Sharp.football/WGR, he said. Let's see, it's $35. This now this way it's $1. It's a savings of carry the two. $34. That's a great, that's like 90% off almost or more.
What can you even get
or
for
almost
a,
or more?
Can you even get for a buck anymore? A buck.
Not a lot.
Is a toll even a buck? I don't even know.
I think the Grand Island Bridge is $1.
Yeah.
Unless you live on the island, then it's like 8 cents.
Yeah.
Maybe a few more cents than that. It's better. It's a better deal if you live on the island.
Good. Well, that should be.
That
should be the case, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting insight from Warren on the schedule. Did you know that the Bills have not lost a game after the bye in 11 years? Longest active streak in that category. 803-0550 for your calls. We're talking about the tush-push thing again today a little bit already, and also this schedule stuff that's on the table for the owners here today and tomorrow. Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. This is Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.